Dream State centers around a beloved lake house in Montana and spans about 50 years in the lives of two friends and the woman they both love, tracing how a stunning betrayal goes on to haunt all three of their lives and the lives of their children.
I received the pitch for this book back in October, and these lines from the email I received from your publisher stuck with me. How do the impetuous choices we make when we're young shape the course of our lives? How do we navigate a world in which our private mistakes, the mistakes of society at large, feel increasingly irreversible? And can we find meaning and happiness in a dying world, one that feels more and more like a dream? So you just described Dream State, the book, but talk to me about Dream State, the feeling.
Sure. And I'm glad you recited those lines. I mean, I think those are lines that I wrote myself trying to capture the feeling of the book and the themes of the book. Obviously, it's much larger than the elevator pitch that I just described. And I'm also glad you mentioned that because, people ask you what your book is about, and there really is no answer because a book, a novel, is about the experience of reading it. I mean, there's no other way. It's kind of ineffable. You can't really describe it any other way. But yeah, I am interested in those questions, both the sort of like private, personal mistakes that we make and how those have ramifications that maybe get passed on to the next generation, but also the more public mistakes that we make. And how those also get passed on to the generation below us, and specifically our failure to tend for the earth. So those two things actually achieve a kind of like meeting point in the second half of the book.
I want to talk about that for a second because one of the areas you touched on was climate change, global warming, fires. As readers returning to this lakeside house in Montana every summer, we are able to, quote unquote, witness the receding waterline, the rebuilding of docks further into the water, the death of orchards and raspberry bushes. The fires in the book seem prophetic, but also not surprising. Why was this topic important to the book?
Well, the book is based on an actual house. I mean, nothing, the book is a novel. So there's no autobiographical elements in terms of the characters and what happens to them. But it's very much based on a real place and a place that my wife and I have been going to for the past 25 years, which is a lake house on Flathead Lake in Montana. The town in the book is called Salish, Montana, but the closest town to the real life house is Big Fork, Montana. It's not far from Glacier National Park. So it's a place that's just incredibly near and dear to my heart. It's my favorite place on earth. And so one of the things that's been happening over the course of the past 25 years is that we've watched the environment change and we've watched the wildfires get steadily worse. And they're not just wildfires in Montana, but also the wildfires in Oregon and Washington and Canada. All that smoke drifts eastward, as you probably know. So there have been times in the past, I would say 7 years, when we've gone out there and we haven't even been able to go outside for 3 or 4 days because the air quality index was so high that it was dangerous. So it's really impacted not only our lives, but impacted the state of Montana in a kind of profound way. So I wanted to write about that, and that all comes from kind of personal experience. And, honestly, I thought I was projecting into the future a little bit, and I am in the book. But I wrote it before the LA fires, and there's a chapter in the book set in LA, and the Hollywood sign has burned up, and the Griffith Observatory has partly burned, and that was supposed to be 10 years from now. So yeah, I mean, I don't think it's prophetic, though. I mean, we all knew that this was not going to happen, but was already happening.
This book was epic in scope, and I suppose this is a question about craft. I want to ask about the timeline of the novel, how you approach time. Not the there before you know it idea, but the jumping ahead of years in a single chapter, sometimes through a single paragraph. In fact, this line was at the center of when I noticed a major jump in time. They moved through summertime, in which days were really years. As the author, you know what happens to each of your characters at the various stages of their lives. How do you decide how much and what to share with the reader?
I mean, that's a really good question. And I will say a couple things in regards to that. First of all, actually, no, I didn't know what was going to happen to these characters. I mean, my first drafts are very exploratory. That's what keeps writing interesting for me, is when characters start to do things that I wasn't expecting or things happen to them that I wasn't expecting. So writing a first draft for me is a real act of discovery in that way. There's a famous quote by E.L. Doctorow who said that writing a novel is like driving at night in the fog. You can only see as far as your headlights. And that's certainly been my experience of this is my second novel, the two novels that I've written, but also why I love to write them because they're continually surprising me. But the second half of the book, those elisions that you're talking about where it jumps through time, that was very much purposeful, something that was part of the design of the book from the beginning. I wanted to cover a large swath of time. I wanted to cover 50 years because I'm interested in time. I'm really interested in books in which time is the antagonist. They move me for some reason in a way that I can't fully explain. Probably I'm not the only one who feels moved by the fact that time keeps marching on relentlessly forward. But there's something about that that sounds depressing at the same time that the fact that we're impermanent, that houses are impermanent, that landscapes are impermanent, is also one of the reasons why we cherish them and find them beautiful. So I sort of wanted to capture those two things that seem oxymoronic and seem opposites of each other at the same time.
I don't need my books to be happy. In fact, I think I prefer if they're not. But I feel like I've been walking around in a dream state since I finished your novel. Do you have a hope? Is there something you want readers to take away from the book?
Well, I think walking around in a dream state is a pretty good reaction. I mean, that's what a writer would want, right? You want to write a book that changes somebody, even in a small way. And ideally, you write a book in which you change somebody in a small way forever. I mean, that's the secret goal, isn't it? I do like books that kind of wreck me emotionally, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I mean that in the best possible way. I really like to be wrecked. So if someone says that they cried during reading, cried in a way that didn't feel manipulative or sentimental, then that's really sort of the highest praise I think I can hear as a novelist.